This is Nation Radio with Alan Mitchell, a.k.a. Low Tide.
Only on Edmonton Sports Radio.
Team 1260.
We're live at the Pint downtown, 109th and Jasper, until 2 o'clock today. Make sure to drop by and say hello if you can. You can also email us at nationradio at theteam1260.com. Have a couple of emails to pass along here from Matt Robertson. Says, Low Tide, I live in Ottawa. I've had the chance to catch a few games in both Ottawa and Gatineau. Based on the players I've seen, some might find it surprising. I would rank the prospects I've seen. They are number one, Dougie Hamilton. Number two, Strome, Landeskog, Jerko, Huberdeau, and Prince. He says Dougie Hamilton is a phenomenal defenseman. He reminds me of a Chris Pronger or Shea Weber. Head on a swivel, great pass out of the zone, amazing ability to control the game. Also has size and degree of aggression in the defensive zone. In my mind, Hamilton is ahead of Larson. I wouldn't knock anyone for taking him with the number one pick. And we'll talk about that and more with our next guest. Welcome Derek Zona from Copper and Blue. How are you, man?
Not bad, Alan. Thanks for having me on. How are you today?
Good. I'm well, Derek. Where are you, by the way?
I am in western Pennsylvania, a bit north of Pittsburgh.
Okay, so in terms of NCAA basketball, what country are you in?
I am in Pitt country.
Okay, so you're
Pittsburgh
a
Pitt country.
So you're heartbroken already then?
Yeah, Pitt tends to do that to the local guys. We've come to expect very little out of their postseason appearances.
Well, there you go. You know what? Sets you up to be an Oiler fan, I guess. Hey.
I have a misery when it comes to sports teams over the last 5, 6, 7 years. So I'm getting used to it.
There you go. You know, it's hard for me to find someone who likes Sam Gagner as much or more than I do, but I think you're it. What do you like about Sam Gagner's game?
I think he's, first of all, he's taken a lot of, I think, unnecessary flack from fans. And, you know, it's one of those things where I know you're a guy who's big on player development and progression for young players. And, you know, he's a very talented kid, smart player, very smart player, great hands, great ability, down low. He has great ability with the puck. Great vision, but the Oilers have put him in, pretty terrible circumstances when it comes to his development. He's 4 years through the league now. He's avoided catastrophic injury. He's had a couple of small injuries. He's been banged up, two of the years thus far. But they've had three different coaches over the last 3 years, three different systems over the last 3 years. He was protected by McTavish during his rookie season, protected a bit during his sophomore season, but he's been, yanked up and down the lineup, different line mates, different wingers, and different roles. He's spent some time on the penalty kill, spent some time on the power play, and his progress, I think he's made some pretty remarkable progress given the circumstances.
I agree. I think the knock on him is there's two of them. I think it's size and a little bit of speed. What's your reaction to that with Gagner and looking through the Oilers' top six into the future?
I think the same people who kind of knocked Gagner down a peg for his size and speed fall all over themselves to compliment Jordan Eberle's hands and his vision and his abilities. They're very similarly sized. Gagner is smaller than your prototypical first line superstar center, but at the same time there are plenty of successful players in the NHL that are in his size range, and there are players who have gone on to great and fruitful careers that are in his size range, even from the pivot.
Gagner and Cogliano arrived in the NHL the same day. Both of them struggle on the faceoff circle, and it's one of the things that has to be addressed before this team gets any better. How do you think Tom Rennie will solve that problem?
I don't know. Honestly, it's been an issue ever since the great center purge of a couple of years ago. The guys who have been able to take those draws, Reasoner, Stoll, and Brodziak, have been sent away, and there's just been nobody brought in to replace them. I don't pretend to know how a professional hockey player can develop faceoff skills. You know, I know Jonathan Willis there at Oilers Nation has done a couple of studies on age. Scott Reynolds at my site has done a couple of studies on age as far as age and size, as far as faceoff ability and faceoff percentage. And we do know that players get better as they age, but you're also talking about two of the worst faceoff guys since 2000 that have had, you know, any kind of career in Cogliano and Gagne. You know, most guys who are down in their neighborhood, except for maybe Evgeny Malkin, are moved to the wing or have been moved out of the league. So I wouldn't be surprised to see either one of those guys eventually move to a wing. You know, I know we've talked about it with Cogliano, but you know, if Gagne is not able to progress to, you know, some kind of respectable level, 46-47%, I don't see him spending his entire career at center in the 42% range on the dot.
Do you think Gagne's skills on the power play are somewhat duplicated by Hemsky, and does that make one of them expendable moving forward?
I think they have very similar skills. I think they have that same playmaking mentality. They have a very similar vision. They're always looking for that backdoor pass. They're always looking to slip a seam. I don't think it makes them redundant. I don't think that just because they have similar skills on the power play, the Oilers should rid themselves of either. You know, you're always looking to accumulate good players. Just because good players have duplicate skills, I don't think is a reason to get rid of either one. I think they need to find a system, a power play system that works, and find a system that highlights their talents and the talents that the rest of the team has, Hall and especially Omark, Whitney. Find a system that benefits the team as a whole and plays to the strengths that the guys have right now, rather than trying to, you know, move some good players because of redundant skills to plug into a preconceived system or preconceived notion of what you should see on the power play.
Do you think that size among the top six forward is as big an issue as many Oilers fans like myself, who really think that we need to have more size? Do you think it's an issue with the group that they have now, and they have to bring in a, for lack of a better phrase, a Dustin Penner type?
Yeah, it's funny that, you know, the fans have, even Camelini to an extent, have talked about, you know, getting bigger, getting grittier, especially, you know, at the forward position, and Penner is moved. I don't know. I don't think you can win with Smurfs, you know, for an entire lineup of Smurfs, but at the same time, I don't know that size is the primary driver of your lineup, or should be your primary driver of your player acquisition process. You know, the one guy, and you know, both of us have really been high on him since he was drafted, is Teemu Hartikainen.
Yep.
He's big, I guess, for an Oiler. He's 6'1", 215 or something like that. I mean, he's not big, huge for the NHL, but the kid plays, you know, 30 pounds heavier, maybe 2 inches taller than he's listed. You know, strong on the board, strong on the puck, you know, strong going to the front of the net, not afraid to you know, go anywhere on the ice. And you know, his primary purpose on the ice is to win puck battles and get the puck on the net. And you know, I don't think it comes down to size necessarily. It might come down more to a stylistic type of player that you're looking for. You know, Landeskog is the one that I'm really high on him, but he's that same kind of player. He might not be the biggest kid, but
right.
You know, he's bound and determined to win every battle on the ice.
Speaking of Hartikainen and how well he's played as an Oiler, what's been your initial impression of Hartikainen and then Vandeveld, strictly speaking, as Edmonton Oilers?
You know, they coming from a stats-based approach. You know, people always slag me for not watching games, and you know, paying too much attention to the stats. Just looking at them and watching them, Hartikainen especially, you know, it was pointed out the other night, Bruce McCurdy, at the Journal of Cult Hockey, he talked about how Hartikainen twice made Carlo Koliakova look over his shoulder, both times running into him but winning the puck. You know, he's not out of place, I don't think.
Right.
I like the long development cycle. I'd like to see him blow the doors off of the AHL, you know, force his way into the lineup. But it looks like he may do that maybe a year earlier than I suspected. Vandeveldt has, you know, he struggled to score points in the AHL, but he doesn't look out of place either. He's, you know, somebody's got to fill that fourth line center role eventually, and you know he's been maybe a little bit slower than a guy like Brodziak was a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, he hasn't looked out of place. He's been physical when he needs to be, and he has a bunch of the skill sets that he needs: faceoffs and penalty killing.
Dan Tinser tweet earlier today gave the starting lines for tonight that could change, but Vandeveld was between Eberle and Hartikainen on what was listed as the top line, so that should be interesting to watch tonight. Oklahoma City,
no.
Can you explain the Oklahoma City playoff picture in an hour or less?
the two guys that write for me, Neil Livingston and Scott Reynolds, have done a very good job of that. Because of the unbalanced divisions in the West, there is one crossover position available. Essentially, all of the teams in the Western Division cannot make it into the playoffs because of the unbalanced division. However, there is a crossover position available in the West, and I think it's fifth place. Don't quote me on that. It's confusing enough. But if the Barons are, if they accumulate enough points that they are in, because they are better than the fourth-place team, I think, in the other division in the conference, so they can make the playoffs. But, you know, if they, even I think they're in last in the division, but more points than the fourth-place team in the other division, they won't make the playoffs.
Right. One of the things that I was very impressed about with your writing at the Copper and Blue, you're one of the first bloggers, I think you were the first, to uncover Hartikainen's impressive second half splits vis-a-vis the first half and the reasons behind them. And so I've followed Hartikainen, I know you have closely. I want to get your impressions, though, of some of the Oiler rookies who played this year. And let's begin with Taylor Hall.
He is, I don't know if you can describe him in just a few words. He's the word that always comes to mind, and everybody's written this since he was in the OHL, is explosive. He is fearless, goes to the net. He is going to be a very, very good player in the NHL for 10, 12 years, and you know he's going to be a 35-goal scorer for a very long time.
And what about, let's do Eberle next.
You know, I take a lot of flack for this, but I wasn't as high on Jordan Eberle as a lot of people were.
Me either.
He was the darling of Team Canada, but he didn't have, you know, watching him in juniors and, you know, in the World Juniors, he didn't have that one skill, that one talent that, you know, you look at a kid and you say, wow, you know, that is going to get him into the NHL. That is going to allow him to have a long career. He's going to get 500 games. And he just didn't seem to have that. You know, he had great hands, great vision, a quick little shot, and he always knew how to go to space. You know, everybody talks about goal scorers and playmakers getting into space, open space. But, you know what? He has, it seems like that skill set that he has translated to the NHL. He looks like he's playing at the same speed that he was playing in juniors. In the NHL, you know, it's translated perfectly, and I'll be the first to admit that I was wrong. I was wrong on Eberle. His skills are there. You know, he's gonna be on that right side for a very long time.
I was my concern over Eberle. He had a couple of down errors in junior. He didn't really progress statistically in his second year. And looking back, might have been that the team was so crappy that he was doing his best. They just didn't have any help there. But I agree with you.
He has been terrible.
Yeah, he has been. He's such an intelligent player. I mean, I compare him, not that he's going to have a Steve Shutt career, but he has a sixth sense around the net. And I've seen him do subtle things like change an angle on a shot and score a goal on an NHL goalie. And for a rookie to do that, is phenomenal. There are guys who played in this league for a long time who've never been able to do that kind of a play, and he does it routinely, or at least has done it quite a bit in the NHL as a rookie. What about Pajarvi? What's your opinion on him?
I still believe he probably has more raw talent, maybe not the hands that, or the shot that Taylor Hall has, but I think he has more raw talent than any of the rookies. His skating ability is, you know, we haven't seen that in Edmonton for, I don't know if we've ever seen it in Edmonton. He might, you know, maybe since Paul Coffey. He is that fast. He has the ability. He's big. You know, he's for speedy. He's not a speedy little guy. He's a big forward. He has great. He already has really, really good defensive responsibility. He's another guy that's been yanked up and down the lineup. He's been, you know, forced into a number of different roles, but on raw talent alone, he's tremendous, fun to watch, and I think his development curve is maybe a little bit behind both Hall and Eberle right now, and I think it's going to take a bit of time for them to find the right role and the right place for him in the lineup and to really bring out his skill. In terms of raw talent and raw ability, he's just, you know, I don't think the Oilers have had something like him in a long time.
Yeah, I think many years ago they used to say about prospects that he has no idea how good he is, and I think that's a little bit Pajarvi. He's all skill set, and he's a smart player too, but when he learns that he can run over people, I think he's going to, so looking forward to that. What about Jeff Petrie?
He has a big shot too. That's one thing that not a lot of people realize. He has a huge shot, and I don't think he's just learned how to get it off and when to get it off yet.
Yeah, that last goal he scored was a beautiful shot up high, and he did. I agree with you on that. Now, what about Jeff Petrie? What's your been? We've only had 25 games to look at him, but what do you think?
I've been higher on him than most, and that's funny because we tend to deride the saw him good kind of people, but. Who was it? Last year, I watched Petrie play two different games. One was against Wisconsin, and I think his ice time was something like 34 minutes when he was at Michigan State. And he did whatever he wanted to do on the ice, and he just looked like a forward, you know, coming from the back, coming from the rear. And ever since then, I've been really high on him. I didn't think that he would be an impact rookie already. You know, I thought he would be a Tom Gilbert type, maybe with a little better skating ability. But, you know, he's been tremendous. He has a very good puck awareness. He might not be Chris Pronger in terms of physicality or, you know, even Theo Peckham, but he knows where the puck is at all times. He's able to get the puck out. He can skate it out. He can pass it out. He's very good positionally already, and he's made his partner better. You know, his ability to skate and pass and move the puck makes, you know, his partner better on the ice at even strength. I don't know if he's going to be a power play guy. He looks like he has the skills to be, but I'm very, very high on Petrie. I think he's going to be tremendous.
Final rookie before we get to a quick draft discussion, Devan Dubnyk.
I don't like goalies as a rule. they drive me insane. I don't know much about goaltending. I could never figure goaltending out. I could never figure goaltenders out. Their progression, their career progression is crazy. You know, there's nothing linear about a goalie's career progression. So. And the guys that I rely on to look at goalies say he's developed each year. You know, the stats didn't show it up until this year, but then all of a sudden he's had a not a stellar year, but he's had a pretty solid year behind a less than stellar team. So the guys who watch him, some of the guys who do analysis on goalies say that, you know, he's okay. He might not be your number one for every year in and year out, but he's going to give you 30 games, 35 games a year.
I once wrote a blog post years ago that equated goaltenders in the NHL to knuckleball pitchers, and I still think that's the best equation, because one day they're good and the other day they're not. It's a weird thing. And I do think Dubnyk has a future, but I don't know if it's as a number one goalie. Have you been following the 2011 draft?
I have. I've been doing it we don't get to see a lot of the guys on a nightly basis, unless you've got tickets to go out and sit down and watch the Oil Kings or sit down and watch the Hitmen. You don't get to see a lot of the guys coming through. I know Bruce McCurdy has, and he's done a number of scouting reports. But I've been tracking it statistically, looking at, even strength and percentage of team goals and all that fun stuff. So, yeah, I kept an eye on it.
Pat McLean emailed a question for you, which is good because it means Pat's awake and he's up and he knows how to use email. He says, here's a question for Zona. I'm sure you'll ask him. Wondering who he would pick first of all as of today.
As of right now, I'd go with Larson. I don't think it's drafting for need. They do need a defenseman in the organization, but I think of that top group, he probably has the most talent right now and the biggest and brightest future. My second is probably Landeskog.
Okay. And one final question before we let you go. The Oilers signed Tanner House last week. The contract details are up on Cap Geek this morning. Signing bonus was $100,000. It's a two-year deal beginning in the fall, and it's a $600,000 cap hit should he make the NHL. What do you think of the Oilers signing guys like House and Fadun as college free agents?
I've written about it a couple of times, and it's actually a trend that, I've been down on management for a while. I think a lot of us have, just gotten sick of the perpetual rebuild and the losing. But the one positive aspect that Kevin Lowe has demonstrated in player procurement since 2006 has been adding bright and intelligent players to the organization. Jordan Eberle was an academic standout. Fadun, obviously, coming from Princeton. Tanner House was academic all-conference. And even, some of the guys, Sam Gagner is a very bright player. Cogliano was a very bright player. I don't think it's a bad thing to add intelligence to the organization. A lot of teams will shy away from very bright guys. They don't want thinkers. They don't want guys out there thinking for themselves. They want guys that are going to run through a brick wall when the coach wants them to. But they've added a number of intelligent players. They've added very, outside of just hockey smarts, they're adding just really smart guys. And I think in the long run, they may not, Fadun and House may never make the NHL. But in the long run, I think it's good that the organization has these guys at all levels, the ECHL, the AHL, and in the big leagues.
Derek, so much for this. Thanks so much, and we appreciate it, and we'll be calling you back again soon.
Thanks, Alan. Have a good weekend.
That's Derek Zona from Copper and Blue. If you haven't been before, Derek is one of terrific set of writers there, and they do very fine work. If you like advanced stats, and even if you don't, they do a really nice cross-section on the Edmonton Oilers. Now, we're at the end of hour number one at Nation Radio, live at the Pint on Jasper and 109th Street. We've got a couple of Calgary Flame-based bloggers coming up, and then Kent Simpson from Team 1260 as well in the next hour. So stay tuned. It's all coming up after this.